All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody who is in the Rumble chat. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Deb Plant is on. Ron Schlage is on. Sexy Pony is on. TJT1 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Robin Aroni is on. Mike Griffith is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Deb Plant is on. Volvo 960 is on. Agravain is on. Golf and Rocky is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Skunk 71 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Let me see here. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Judy Anita is on. D9597 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Aphrodites is on. Let me see here. Linesmanson is on. Blade Runner is on. Bob Corley is on. B. Wethy is on. Scooter Magruder is on. 196 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling. Snodod 311 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Those Jesus People is on. Bonnie 4 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Scrolling down, Keeper 1376 is on, Luann 5 is on, Big Jim Go Blue is on. Let me grab one or two more here before we go. Gloyd Shaw is on, Jim Kohler is on, Producer Aaron is on, JBC 2020 is on, Becklin 60 is on. Appreciate you guys. Let me launch into this. This is a kind of a, this is all, I want to give all credit to where credit is due. This is all reference Kyle Serafin's interview on Alex Jones, revealing why the four FBI agents have either been fired or forced to resign. Rumor has it, I don't know how much of it's exactly been confirmed, it's Brian Driscoll. Remember the names, Brian Driscoll, Chris Meyer, Walter, like Gia. Something Giordano, something along those lines. Giafrida, something along those lines. Steven Jensen, that's an easy one to say. Steven, and his nickname was Steven J6 Jensen. Brian Driscoll was actually the interim head director of the FBI before Cash Patel took over. Chris Meyer, and I'm going to go deep into detail with all of this. Chris Meyer was the one flying Cash Patel around on the FBI's private jet. I want to get the name right. It's Walter Giadia, something like that. But anyway, I'll just call him Walter Giro. I'll just call him that for short. He ended up working on the Navarro investigation along with Chris Meyer. And Steve J6 Jensen is in charge of the Washington field office. And he was the one that branded all J6 offenders terrorists. And whenever you put it under terrorists, you lose some of your civil rights in the United States in regards to your judicial proceedings as far as your civil rights in the United States of America. That's who these people are. And it was kind of weird because with J6 Jensen, both Bongino and Patel were building him up because they had just promoted him. But Bongino gave kind of a cryptic warning about keep your friends close, your enemies closer, kind of encrypted message to everybody. And a lot of people believe it was about Jensen. But anyway, let me dive deep into this. This is just unbelievable. If you don't like deep dives and just one video after another, this isn't going to be your segment, but you ought to stick around for it anyway because it's really good. All right, so first let's go in order here. Brian Driscoll. So you have Brian Driscoll, the former acting director of the FBI. He came in and immediately he was told, you know what, I need the names of all of the FBI agents that worked on the J6 investigations. He refused to do that. Can you imagine that? He absolutely refused to do it. So he was going to be reassigned anyway, but then he was reassigned basically to their like helicopter plane. It's called a SIRG unit, S-I-R-G. And again, all credit to Kyle Serafin on Alex Jones for all of this information. I wrote it down. Just had to break it down. It was too fascinating not to. If you just listen to the show, you can't catch it all. So what did I do? Loser that I am. Listen to it again over and over, backtrack and wrote it all down. So you have Brian Driscoll. So he gets put over their CERG unit. Now, little side notes on Brian, who refused again upon the orders of the president of the freaking United States through Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. You shall turn over all the names of all the FBI agents that were involved in J6 investigations and say that they're all going to be fired. And he actually refused to do so. Now, it turns out that little Bri here, he was also involved in their HRG, which is their hostage rescue unit, their HRG unit. They didn't just use the local FBI SWAT team. And remember, FBI SWAT teams suck anyway. They suck at all things law enforcement. But anyway, they didn't just use, with the Mar-a-Lago raid, they didn't just use the local FBI SWAT team. They brought in the HRG unit, which is Hostage Rescue Group is what it stands for. And that was headed by, let me see who, Brian Driscoll. So Brian Driscoll led the SWAT team that raided Melania Trump's underwear drawer. That's who this guy is. And he was the acting director of the FBI right before Cash Patel took over and then disobeyed a direct order when Patel took over, coming from the President of the United States, to turn in every FBI agent that worked on a J6 investigation. They were above board. Remember now, nobody's above the law. If you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. That's what we've been told for the last 4 years, 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. Now, since I got to show you this. This is truly unbelievable because people need to know what's going on inside of these totalitarian alleged law enforcement agencies, federal law enforcement agencies. Now, Brian refused that order to turn over the J6 investigators. And you know what they got? You can put that up there, Aaron, side by side. So this is what they did. This was going on. I mean, it's great when Brent is here because when Will's here, I've got a war fighter. When I've got Brent here, I've got a fellow cop. So this is a law enforcement agency, right? Even though it's federal law enforcement agency. Can you imagine this, Brent, former cop in Cincinnati? And he was a cop a lot shorter period of time than I was, but went to a lot more calls because he was in Cincinnati. But I was in Sarasota. But anyway, so can you imagine this? This guy actually had a coin printed of himself, like a trading coin that you hand out. I forgot what specifically you call them. Like when, because a lot of cops are into these coin things and whatever. I can't remember.
Challenge coin.
Is it a challenge coin?
Yeah.
Challenge coin. He actually had a coin printed up of himself or his coworkers did. And they were, because he stood up to Trump. Look at what it says here. What would Driz do? His name was Brian Driscoll. And these were being traded. These challenge coins were being traded around the FBI while Trump is president. Over the last 6-7 months, we're at day 199 of the Trump administration today, 200 tomorrow. This was being traded around the FBI. Can you believe it? So people were trading around. Go to the next one for me and just keep the, I may go back and forth on these. So then look at what it says here. Then come over here and fire me, Driz. And you notice, go back to the one before, if you could. Notice what it says here. Does anybody remember what WWJD was? What would Jesus do? Well, the FBI thinks of themselves on the level of Jesus. What would Driz do? This is who is in charge of taking away people's freedoms, possibly for the rest of their lives. Sycophantical, narcissistic morons like Brian freaking Driscoll. Aaron, go to the next one for me, that pick again from the desk. And they think that they're part of, he believes he's president of the United States as he sits behind the Resolute desk. That's who these people are. That's how dangerous the FBI is. FBI, CIA, you listen to Kyle Serafin, he's like the biggest danger to Cash Patel and Dan Bongino is the FBI itself. And what they do is every day come in there and give you all of these briefings and then make you chase your tail all day long. And all of us are sitting out here going, why aren't things getting done? It's because they're being given tasks by the deep state inside of the FBI to keep them chasing their tail all day long so they actually are not accomplishing anything. But anyway, Driz got fired. So that's a really good thing. So anyway, now Driz was given a second order because now Driz is in charge or was in charge of the CERG unit, which is the helicopters, the planes, and things like that. So he was given a second order, and that was to fire the pilot, which is Chris Meyer. And what did he say? He refused to fire the pilot because Chris Meyer was heavily involved in the raid at Mar-a-Lago, just like Brian Driscoll was. And according to Brian Driscoll, Chris Meyer, the pilot, said, according to Driscoll, Chris Meyer, the pilot, is a combat veteran and tried to resist the whole raid of Mar-a-Lago, tried to resist it. So he refused to fire him. So on that, Brian Driscoll was fired. You can bring it back to me now. But anyway, so who is Chris Myers? Everybody try to remember. If I lay it out like this, it's not that complicated. So now, remember now, Chris Myers is working for Brian Driscoll because Brian Driscoll is in charge of the SIRG unit, which has the private jet and the helicopters for the FBI. And there are various planes. They have several jets. Of course, you and I have to pay for all those things. But anyway, so Driscoll is ordered to fire Chris Meyer, refuses to do so. Now, who is Chris Meyer? He is the sole pilot for Kash Patel's private jet. And they've been flying around together for the last 7 months. One of the reasons why Brian Driscoll said that it wouldn't be a good idea for him to fire, he said, because he's a combat veteran, because he's a good guy, resisted the Mar-a-Lago raid, which is all, by the way, the resistance of the Mar-a-Lago raid we know is a lie. But he also said to Patel, do you really want to fire, this is a quote, fire the guy who's been flying around with you for the last 7 months listening to your conversations? That's how absolutely audacious these people are. How full of chutzpah these people are. How full of themselves and how arrogant and condescending they are. Where this Brian Driscoll, who's in charge of the SIRG unit, says to Kash Patel, do you really want to fire the guy who's been listening to your conversations for the last 7 months? Now, Brian Driscoll's been fired. Chris Myers has been fired. And by the way, he wasn't just a part of the Mar-a-Lago raid. He's connected with Fannie Willis through Walter Giordano, connected with Fannie Willis in that in the Navarro investigation also. But anyway, Chris Meyer ran the criminal case with Jack Smith. I thought he was resisting Mar-a-Lago, the Mar-a-Lago raid. No, he ran the criminal case with Jack Smith, which led to the raid of Mar-a-Lago. And then right before Trump took office, he sought a transfer to the SIRG unit. That's what happened. And then the other two guys that were fired, of course, were the Walter Giordano and the Stephen J6 Jensen. He has also been fired. And by the way, the J6 investigators, the FBI agents who Trump went after to fire, who were involved in illegal J6 investigations, who did they get? And can anybody guess who it was that they got for their attorney? Can anybody guess? That'd be Norm Eisen. So, I mean, again, what the FBI is, as I've been saying, as you've heard me say for the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve, the FBI is nothing more than the brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party. When they are in need, they run to Norm Eisen and Mark Zaid, two Democratic Party attorneys. Why wouldn't they seek out a right-wing attorney? Why wouldn't they seek out an impartial attorney? Why wouldn't they seek out a nonpartisan attorney? No, they go right to Norm Eisen because that's who they are. All right, now who's next? So we got all those four agents gonzo, and there's going to be a lot more fired out of the FBI. So who will be next? Go to the next one for me. Project Veritas tweet. A whistleblower has provided Project Veritas with explosives. Appears that Project Veritas and James O'Keefe may be merging because the moment that started, James O'Keefe put out a video which had Project Veritas and OMG behind him. And he says, I bet you're wondering why that is. And then he had an explanation, but it was behind a paywall. So I said, screw you, I'm not going to watch it. But anyway, not because I was willing to pay. I actually did pay for it. But I paid for it on Twitter, but it was on the website. So I you had to become a subscriber, so I became a subscriber, but I still couldn't get it on the website. If Aaron was there, I probably would have gotten it. But I didn't, got frustrated and gave up. So anyway, and then threw my phone across the room. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do it that time. This time I didn't do it. But anyway, so it appears that suddenly Project Veritas is becoming useful again, as it appears James O'Keefe may be retaking it over. I don't know. But anyway, whistleblowers provided Project Veritas with explosive evidence of secret meetings. It couldn't be. I mean, Bill Barr is who the Democrats always use as the example of, you know, this is what a Republican is saying about Donald Trump. I mean, Bill Barr is the example the left always uses of somebody who's impartial, who's Republican, or when he actually does speak against Democrats, then, of course, they lambast him. But anyway, secret meetings orchestrated by former U.S. Attorney General Billy Barr to prosecute Donald Trump and prevent his political comeback. That's strange, isn't it? All right, go to the next one for me. Project Veritas video. This is the whistleblower. Just 1 minute and 10 seconds. Breaking part two. Bill Barr held secret meetings. Play for me.
It's very easy to know why I am being prosecuted and no one else. It's being charged or prosecuted. It's very easy. I called the FBI to report Bill Barr and Armstrong Williams. I have notes of every single meeting. One meeting can be about visa for someone, or another meeting can be about January 6th or RICO case. I have a quote here that was like, Barr believes the FBI will go to Trump House soon. And one thing that I heard a lot is like how they go to prevent America to have Trump again. One thing that I learned very fast and very in the beginning is like, Bill Barr is someone extremely important. And I remember the biggest conversation they had at that point, it is like, what kind of charge that we can bring against Trump? And that's when Bill Barr, and I will never forget that, Bill Barr was like, we should bring RICO because it's a very difficult type of charge to defend.
So we should bring a RICO case, Bill Barr says, against Donald Trump. So what are they doing? Investigating a crime or investigating a man? They're not investigating a crime, they're investigating a man to try to situate him into a RICO case, which of course couldn't apply because he never committed any crimes at all. Remember, this is all built on the insurrection hoax. Yeah, we have the collusion hoax. Then we got the 2020 insurrection hoax. You had Donald Trump being charged with seditious conspiracy. The only problem is he never committed any act of sedition and he never committed any act of a conspiracy. So he never did anything conspiratorial and he never did anything seditious. But other than that, there's plenty of things to charge him under seditious conspiracy. Because remember, Donald Trump was being charged under the documents case that was spurred on by the Biden administration with a notification to National Archives, NARA, to complain. The NARA wasn't complaining until the Biden administration told them to complain, which gave them their convoluted justification with some of the fired FBI agents. Remember, all these people are tied in together. You had one of those fired FBI agents directly tied in with Fannie Willis, because Fannie Willis was the election fraud allegations. Remember all these charges against Donald Trump, 770 years in prison he was facing. You know, you had the New York felony count, the New York election finance case. You had that Stormy Daniels case. You had the New York civil case, elections, real estate civil case. Then you had the E. Jean Carroll false rape, civil rape allegation case. Then you had the Washington, D.C. Jack Smith case. Then you had the Atlanta Fannie Willis case. Then you had the West Palm Beach classified records case under Judge Cannon, all those things. All at one time, that's what Donald Trump was going through. I mean, imagine, this is why sometimes he just gets absolutely out of his mind. It's like, Epstein's all a freaking hoax. He never should have done it. He's completely wrong. But that's why eventually, you know what? You just can't take the people constantly lying about you. So here you have Bill Barr, or this is what everyone understand. And I have a deep dive into this. So, I mean, from the actual Project Veritas article. But remember this before we go, because I'm going to show you this Alex Jones video here for a minute and 24 seconds. But remember this before we get into this video. The Alex Jones video is about the hit list of Bill Barr. Remember Bill Barr. I mean, again, it's funny how Epstein's rising up right now, isn't it? It's kind of funny how, because it was Bill Barr's dad that got Epstein his first job that he wasn't qualified for, introduced him to the Bear Stearns people, which then introduced him basically to the international military industrial intel complex. But anyway, so here you have Bill Barr. What is he doing? Well, he's trying to orchestrate an illegal RICO case against Donald Trump. So that's a conspiracy against rights, and there are no statute of limitations that apply here. So you have him trying to drum up fake charges, which every one of those fake charges that he tries to drum up against Donald Trump is a false police report. That's a crime in and of itself, let alone a conspiracy against rights. But what else is he doing? He's also trying to secure visas for foreign nationals based on jobs that don't exist. You need to watch the entire, there's two videos, part one, part two from Veritas with the whistleblower, who is Patricia Lelis. It speaks pretty broken English, but you can make out what she's saying. But anyway, you need to watch it because Bill Barr, this man of integrity, again, the person on the left always uses to prove us wrong, because if Bill Barr says it, if Bill Barr says it, then, because he's a Republican. If Susan Collins says it, she's a Republican. If Mittens Willard Romney says it, well, they're a Republican. There's Republicans. This is bipartisan. Because John Cornyn says it. So it's bipartisan. Jasmine Crockett was just singing his praises a minute ago. I mean, not a minute ago. I mean, it was a minute ago. It was this week. Singing John Cornyn's praises about how great a guy he is. You know who I don't want calling me a great guy? It really is. And people, again, woe to you when all men speak well of you, so their fathers to the false prophets, Luke 6:26. You don't want all men speak well of you. It doesn't mean that you go after them not speaking well of you, but you should have such a stance in life that people are going to be against you because you are standing against their immorality. I don't want Jasmine Crockett speaking highly of me. I want her to dog me because that means I'm doing something right, but she thinks just the world of John Cornyn. Because she doesn't want Ken Paxton to be elected and take his seat. Because then you have you no longer have a placeholder holding what should be a conservative seat, and have John Cornyn, who votes more than 50% of the time with Democrats. Out of the state of freaking Texas. How does that ever happen? But I digress. So Billy Barr is orchestrating meetings to talk about illegally prosecuting and persecuting Donald Trump and everybody involved with J6. Or while he's doing this, while he's breaking the law doing that, while he's breaking the law while falsely accusing people of breaking law, he himself is breaking the law. Tom, make that make sense. I can't. Again, he's breaking the law by filing false police reports and instigating a false investigation into a crime that didn't exist, into an event that never existed. And while he's committing those crimes and accusing people who didn't commit crimes of crimes, he himself is committing crimes because he is bringing people into the country with visas based on jobs. There's certain countries, Canada being one of them, that they won't even let you come into the United States as a Canadian citizen. It's not as much to do with us as it has to do with them, but it has to do with us too. I mean, anybody in the southern border, you can just come through. Any child sex trafficker, fentanyl trafficker under the Biden administration and Democrats, you can just come through, not anymore. But, God forbid somebody wants to start a business who's Canadian, comes down, wants to start a concrete business. No, that's not allowed. If you want to come and start a fentanyl business, no problem whatsoever if you're under a Democratic administration. But anyway, Billy Barr is recruiting foreign nationals using fake visas on promises of jobs that don't exist. In other words, they were actually creating false corporations, having people pay them to get their visas, and everybody involved knows it's not a real job. So again, forming a fake corporation. He says, I'll get you in. I'll just make it up. $10,000 each. Your whole family, and you're going to go to Aaron's Jewelers. All right, you're going to be a diamond salesman at Aaron's Jewelers, and then Bill knows that company doesn't exist, even though they got the LLC and they pulled the permits or whatever it is that you have to get to get a business licensing to get a business, but the business never actually starts. So they get these people visas. Bill Barr's doing this. Yeah, Tom, you're talking about the former twice attorney general. Yes. Breaking the law like this? Yes, he's a fraudster. He's a huckster. He has been for forever. He's tied in. He is absolutely tied into the pharmaceutical industrial complex and many other things. He's a man who profits off of the demise of the United States of America and its citizenry. But that's what he was doing, securing fake visas for actual immigrants into this country, getting them fake visas, and the qualification to get the fake visas were jobs that don't exist, and he knew they didn't exist. So here's the next one. Alex Jones video. Massive breaking bombshell. Project Veritas releases the Bill Barr hit list. Play for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is breaking today. A two-part series by Project Veritas still does some good work. Getting the emails, text messages, and private notes sent back and forth of Bill Barr, former CIA and then former Attorney General twice, with Armstrong Williams, the secretary, and Bill Barr, and Barr using Fannie Willis and Armstrong Williams as the managers, and the secretary's creating all these notes and has the emails and text messages. Then they tell her, you better give us this in 2023. She's got notes going back 2022, and then she has to leave the country over this. And here's the news. It's Bill Barr meeting with Fannie Willis, the prosecutor, famously corrupt, with Armstrong Williams about what to indict Trump for, racketeering, which they did, and he's using him as his front, and as Williams is the manager. And then there's a hit list of General Flynn, Roger Stone, Alex Jones, Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Kelly Wards, Nick Fuentes, Noble One, Representative Scott Perry, Jim Jordan, Jeff Clark, U.S. Congress, I think that's what it means, Dr. John Eastman, and Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Oh, so there you go. Now, this is what Bill Barr is on and about doing. Does everybody see, and I know that I'm speaking to a red-pilled audience, I'm really preaching to the choir here, but I just hope everybody can now see just how corrupt these Washington elites are, and that R and D don't matter. There is no such thing as R good, D bad. We know D is bad all the time. We know that. We know that they're horrible. We get that. But we're going to have to now understand that most every single, I'm telling you, people want to think differently. It's just not the case. I mean, we wouldn't be $37 trillion in debt because remember, we have owned the House and Senate at various times since the House, Senate, and presidency at various times since this debt has increased. Remember, we are less than $1 trillion in debt in the year 2000. So we all have to get past the illusion that Republicans are there fighting for us. Now, is Marjorie Taylor Greene fighting for us? Yeah, because she receives no AIPAC money. Is Thomas Massie there fighting for us? Yes, because he refuses to be bought by AIPAC money. They're one of like four people that don't get AIPAC money. Everybody else is bought off by the Israeli lobby. And I don't think of Israel any different than I do any other pseudo ally. And yes, pseudo ally, because I don't really think of anybody as an ally. I think there's people that are less of a threat than others. To me, China is the number one threat. To me, Russia's not a threat at all. You know, I mean, a lot of people think they are. They're not. If they wanted to be a threat, they would have already been a threat as we've encroached on them 11 NATO nations since 1992. After we swore we wouldn't do that, as we don't keep our promises. Again, there's no white hats and black hats. It's everybody's gray. Because everybody, with the exception of the born-again believer who's not compromised, is of the spirit of the world. So they're going to be inconsistent at best, including Trump. They're going to be inconsistent. Trump's as good as it gets for somebody who's not a sold-out believer. I know people want to believe that he is, but that's just not the case, folks. There's no evidence of it. It's just not the case. I think he loves Christians. Supports the church, certainly allows a large evangelical influence. I hope he's saved. I mean, you never know. You know, I can't 100% tell, but you know, and that would be erroneous judgment for me to confirm one way or another. But right now, there's just not a whole lot of evidence. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. So, I mean, when you have the spirit of the world, you have the spirit of the world, which is Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit of the Antichrist versus the Holy Ghost and God. So, I mean, and that's it. And you're like, well, I know a whole lot of Christians that are compromised too. Hey, amen, glory, hallelujah. You're right. Basically ask any Christian, did your church close for COVID? Because that's a compromised church. That's a weak-kneed, bent-over, lukewarm church. That's what they are. And again, they don't qualify as ankle grabbers. They're heel grabbers. The absolute worst you could possibly be is a heel grabber. And that's what the pastors were. They were like, you know what? Oh, really? You want me to wear a mask? You want me to wear a next mask? You want me to hoard the vaccines for my pulpits? You want lockdowns and COVID clumps and spraying and Zoom services? You want that? You know what? What else can I give you? Well, Pastor, you've already got a hold of your ankles for me. You know what? Let me grab my heels. Let me show you my compassion. You know what? Even heels isn't enough. Let me grab both my butt cheeks so I can spread them even wider for you. That's how most pastors are. I mean, it really is. I mean, show me different. Show me the ones that have repented. Aaron, get the list of the pastors who have repented.
Oh,
publicly.
Hang on. Yeah,
he's typing it. Aaron, get the list. All of them that repented publicly. Okay, zero. Nope. Okay, I just want to make sure. Because Chip Roy is the only person I've ever seen repent publicly. Ever. Ever. You know, even Trump never has, okay, about of the COVID disaster. But this just shows you Okay, and everybody knows about Billy Barr and is watching this podcast. You already know about Billy. But I'm just saying that's how everybody is, with notable exceptions. With notable exceptions. And you can tell, because if you will make a principled stand, like, you know what? I'm not going to take millions of dollars from AIPAC. So I become a puppet for Israel. I'm not gonna do that. You're like, oh, Thomas, I didn't know Thomas anti-Israel. I didn't know Thomas anti-Jew. I'm not. They're a foreign country. And our congressmen and women should not be receiving money from a foreign country. Oh no, AIPAC is based in America, says Ted Cruz. What does it matter where you're based? I mean, think about if it was any other country. You know, Saudi Arabia is based here. They somehow have Saudi citizens who have become American citizens, and they're based here, and they were giving, SATAC money, Saudi Arabia. I mean, would everybody be fine with it then? Absolutely not. It would all be Saudi money, because it's Israeli money. I look at Israel as I do all of our other allies. Trust but verify. Every single time. And Israel has shown themselves specifically that you need to verify. Over and over and over again. And that's, that recently you had a CIA whistleblower has come out. I can't remember his name right now. But he came out and said the people you could trust the least when I was in the CIA for his entire career were the Israelis. They were banned from Langley. Banned. An Israeli intel official it was not allowed onto CIA property. Because every time they did, they came in and planted bugs. That's not me. It's not me being anti-Jew. That's what the CIA operative said. The CIA agent said. All right, so the reality of it is that Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C., the Republicans that are there go home to their districts, they run as conservatives, and then legislate as central leftists. That's why you have John Cornyn, who votes 51% of the time with Chuck Schumer. You have John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, who votes 49% of the time with Nancy Pelosi. That is the way that it is. So they're center left. There is no conservatives up there, again, with notable exceptions like Rand Paul, like Ron Johnson. And those are real, because they're willing to lose their jobs. You have Ron Johnson doing vaccine hearings, nearly cost him his seat in the Senate. All right, so here's the hit list that was put out. This put Bill Barr. Bill Barr did this. Bill Barr was doing this. He's actually meeting with Democrats and doing this. Let me see. He wants on the hit list. He wants to take down the following people. Rudy Giuliani, which they did. Can everybody look at this? Rudy Giuliani owes Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss $48 million. What is Rudy Giuliani's net worth? And this is not what he has in cash. This is net worth with his homes or whatever else. $10 million. It's worth $10 million. But he got a settlement against them for $48 million. How does that make sense to anybody? I can't get off into it. I can't. Shows you the corruption of our court system. I can't start talking about it, or that's 30 minutes. And it's already 9:39, which I can't believe it was, because I thought it was 9:19. So I'm 20 minutes past where I should be. So Rudy Giuliani has been financially destroyed for all intents and purposes, unless he's got some good attorneys that can divert money. So that's what happened. Ruby Freeman, Shea Moss, mother and daughter, were seen on video putting the same ballots in the shame machine over and over again. On video, after Aaron, they shut down the elections because they were flooded.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and
well, if it was flooded,
I mean, it was flooded. I mean, the whole thing was flooded. It turned out to be a urinal leak.
Oh,
the whole arena was flooded, but it turned out to be one urinal was leaking. They're probably making that up too. So there was no flood, but they sent home all the Republicans and all the poll watchers. And by the way, they said for the record that they sent home all the Democratic Party vote counters also, but they didn't, because Shea Moss and Rumi Freeman sat in there and continued to shove the same ballots in the same machines over and over again. And Rudy Giuliani simply said, look at the video. That's what they did. And they were sued again because it doesn't. And he was sued, and a judgment of $48 million they has to pay to Shea Moss and Rumi Freeman was leveled upon him, all right? But why? How can that happen when you have the exculpatory video? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have a blue judge, blue jury, blue jurisdiction. Doesn't matter. So he's found guilty. I mean, his court hearing, his trial was held in Washington, D.C. Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman live in Atlanta. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, I guess it's, so. On this hit list, you have Rudy Giuliani, who's been bankrupted. Then you have Steve Bannon, went to prison for 4 months. I mean, every one of these, I want to deep dive in their cases. I can't do it. Steve Bannon, I mean, goes to federal prison. He is the only misdemeanor in federal prison. What was it? What was he found guilty of? The exact same thing Eric Holder did, that Eric Holder actually did that Bannon didn't do, which is obstruction of Congress. For failing to obey a subpoena. Eric Holder didn't obey any subpoenas. He was never tried at all because we don't ever do to them what they do to us. We need to change that now. Bannon was put in prison for 4 months, and the exact same thing happened to Navarro for failing to obey a congressional subpoena from a select committee. Only problem is it wasn't a select committee. It was an unselect committee because we weren't allowed to select our members, Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, and instead Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger is what we got because Nancy Pelosi selected those members, therefore invalidating its select status so they aren't allowed to issue subpoenas. So the subpoenas that Bannon got were invalid and everybody knew it. He was referred to the DOJ by people who knew it. He was tried by people who knew it, found guilty by people who knew it, found and sentenced by a judge who knew it. That's how corrupt the United States is. General Flynn, of course, was found guilty of FARA violations. They threatened to prosecute his son, facing 9 years in prison, or maybe Stone was 9 years in prison, the one right after him, facing years in prison until Sidney Powell got involved and got him exonerated because he was completely and totally innocent. Roger Stone was facing 9 years in prison. Alex Jones bankrupted. Alex Jones is worth maybe, I actually spoke to Alex Jones in person, and he told me I spent my last $10 million on legal expenses. So Alex Jones really doesn't have anything. He gets by, paying his bills through the sales of his products on a show, pays his staff, pays those things. He has a nice house, but it's just like a 4-bedroom house, something like that. And he's lost basically everything else. Bottom line is he's probably worth $5-6 million at this point. You're like, no way, he's raked and hunting. It's all gone. Remember, he's been banned for years. He was making tens of millions when he was on YouTube, but he's been banned. That was a long, long time ago. People think he's still worth a whole ton of money. He's not. He's worth maybe $5-6 million. And what's the settlement against him? $1 billion. So it's working. I mean, funny how it all worked. And then, of course, it was found out that the FBI and the CIA were the ones who instigated the families to actually sue him. You know, so, I mean, that's what happened. So, I mean, that's all also on an OMG video. So you had the Sandy Hook families were actually instigated to sue Alex Jones by the CIA and by the FBI. So Alex Jones, all the hit list seems to be working really well. Nick Fuentes banned into non-existence. Okay, some of these, if you look at John Eastman, disbarred. Okay, so this worked pretty well. Can everybody agree? I mean, it really worked well. That's what Bill Barr was doing. So here's the Veritas article. August 7th, 2025, New York, whistleblower currently under indictment by, and of course, the whistleblower who you're never supposed to indict is being indicted. So the innocent party is being indicted. A whistleblower currently under indictment by the U.S. Department of Justice and granted political asylum in an undisclosed foreign country, has provided Project Veritas with explosive evidence alleging secret meetings orchestrated, not attended, orchestrated by former U.S. Attorney General Billy Barr, media figure Armstrong Williams, and other prominent Washington, D.C. insiders to plan the prosecution of Donald Trump. How do you plan the prosecution? The prosecution should be planned after he's arrested for a crime. You don't plan the prosecution unless you're a Stalinist, where you don't prosecute crimes or you don't investigate crimes. You investigate the people and find a crime. Prosecution of Donald Trump's allies in January 6th defendants. Billy was going after everybody. It certainly worked, didn't it? How are the J6 defendants being treated? Yeah, they're in the D.C. gulag, and a lot of them never even got to trial until Donald Trump got them released. Patricia Lalas, hired in 2021 by Armstrong Williams, his media company, Howard Sterk Holdings, it sounds like a Hunter Biden company, claims she attended dozens of meetings, which she does. She has copious notes. It's absolutely proven, which, by the way, she has matched up with cell phone footage that she was at the meetings, cell phone footage, cell phone data, and pictures, and handwritten notes. Which have been verified by Veritas. Strategies claims she attended dozens of meetings where Barr and others devised legal strategies to target Donald Trump supporters and block his political comeback. She provided Project Veritas with extensive handwritten notes and photos documenting these secret discussions, which took place from 2021 to 2023. Layla, the whistleblower, detailed a September 13th, 2021 meeting involving herself, Armstrong Williams, CNN commentator Shermichael Singleton, who is said to be a conservative commentator now. You'll never trust it. Never trust any of them. And former Attorney General Bill Barr, which focused on strategizing for the newly formed J6 committee, which was an unselect committee, as I've already discussed. But why would Bill Barr and Shermichael Singleton, all of these Republicans, and Armstrong Williams, close friend of Ben Carson? Why is it that all of these Republicans are scheming to help Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Bernie Thompson on the J6 committee? Can you explain it to me? I mean, I'd love to know it. I mean, it would appear that Republicans are actually Democrats, because they are. The investigation will be focused on people close to Trump. This is so Stalinist. And make efforts to formally prosecute these people, Layless wrote in her notes at the meeting. So while Bill Barr is scheming to get green card visas for people to enter into this country based on jobs that don't exist, based on corporations that he fraudulently formed that don't exist, that never actually start, so the people come in the country on a false premise each time he does that, it's a felony. While he's doing that, he's doing all this too. Her notes reveal that Barr provided a list of targets, as you just saw. Here's some additional ones. Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Terrio, Jeffrey Clark, the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, as well as Giuliani, Bannon, and the rest of Alex Jones and the rest of them. Following this meeting, many of these individuals were subsequently subpoenaed, sued into non-existence and everything else, to testify before the J6 committee, as Alex Jones was, and face charges related to January 6th. It's funny how whatever Bill Barr wanted in these meetings actually came to fruition. Kind of weird, isn't it? And who are the ones that were bringing these things to fruition? All Democrats on the wishes or orders of a conservative Republican, allegedly. To testify before the J6 committee or face charges related to January 6th or the 2020 election, demonstrating Barr's apparent influence in driving the legal actions against them. Project Veritas examined photos dated March 15, 2022 of Armstrong Williams and Bill Barr alongside Layless, the whistleblower, corresponding notes from a meeting at Sinclair Broadcast Group. The notes detailed discussions revealing Barr was in talks with Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. This is unbelievable. That's what Bill Barr was doing. Fannie Willis. And he was meeting with Fannie Willis and Jack Smith. That's weird, isn't it? About planning prosecutions in Florida, Georgia, and New York. Not prosecuting crimes, planning prosecutions of crimes that have never been committed nor exist. Layless recorded that Barr predicted an FBI raid. Aaron, he predicted it.
Oh, wow.
He predicted an FBI raid of Trump's home, which would occur soon. 5 months later, it occurred. But it's Belgium. I mean, if Belgium does, I mean, it's just Bill Barr. I mean,
it's like COVID.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? All these predictions just happen. Wow. Project Veritas also verified on a January 19, 2023, text from Williams to Layless confirming a planned meeting between Bill Barr and Fannie Willis. Notes from the February 27, 2023 confirm the meeting took place with Barr advising Willis. Did everybody get this? This is unbelievable. With Barr advising Willis. See, Bill Barr just brought himself into the realm of Pam Bondi. If Pam Bondi's worth anything, we'll find out in the conspiracy against rights. Because has this conspiracy stopped? Not until Bill Barr says it was a conspiracy. So it has not stopped. So the statute of limitations doesn't stop. The statute of limitations doesn't start, which is 5 years, for conspiracy against rights until the conspiracy ends via confession. Has anybody confessed? Nah. With Barr advising Willis to pursue RICO charges against Donald Trump. Layla stated, Bill Barr was like, she has broken English. This is her quote. Bill Barr was like, we should bring RICO because it's a very difficult type of charge to defend. Noting Barr described the charge as broad and challenging to counter under U.S. law. Layless claims the overarching goal in all the meetings was to block Trump's return to power. One thing, again, broken English possibly here, it's a quote. One thing that I understood very well is like Bill Barr and Armstrong and all the politicians too, they were very focused like in how they go to stop Trump, she said, broken English, but it's a direct quote. In their efforts to oppose Trump's reelection efforts, Williams, and again, that is Armstrong Williams, and that's his media team. So you had the media aspect, the behind-the-scenes, like, shadow prosecutor, Bill Barr meeting with Fannie Willis and Jack Smith. That's kind of weird. In efforts to oppose Trump's reelection efforts, Williams' team began talks with, can anybody guess which social media company? Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook to develop an anti-Trump social media content. I wonder why it is I have 30,000 followers and three people watching right now. December 2021, meeting notes and text from Daniel Kersey, the government and politics manager for Facebook, indicate Meta, Facebook, was creating content focusing on claims that Trump destroyed democracy. So the media, I mean, I thought that... all the social media, I know I'm being obviously facetious here. I thought these were all just nonpartisan companies. I mean, that's what YouTube's told me. That's what Facebook says. They were nonpartisan companies. But you have Facebook creating content focusing on claims that Trump destroyed democracy. So you have a propaganda machine that is the media social and a social media platform. The strategy, as outlined in the notes taken by Layless, was to alter the algorithm, Aaron. Oh. That's strange, isn't it? Alter the algorithm to persuade Republicans to reject Trump and show he does not represent the Republican Party. Finally, at the next slide, which is the, not that one. There you go. Put that one up there. So here is some of the actual communications. This is text from Daniel Kersey from Facebook. The Facebook's government and politics manager. Why would you need that if you're just this happy-go-lucky media company? I mean, I thought you weren't Goebbels Media. I thought you weren't a propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. Turns out you are. Aaron, is there any way you can blow that? I mean, you can move all the girls off, the operate, and just blow up the actual text form. I about got them, but there you go. And then just scoot it down a little bit. I'll read it. One, yeah, there you go. Perfect. So here, let's read this. This is what's going on. And again... You're like, you know, Tom, why is it that you have to like buy views and manipulate algorithms? Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Okay, there's not 3,721 people watching right now. It's about 1,500 because we bought 2,000 views. Okay, that's all. So we have 3,700 minus 2,000. That's how many people are actually watching right now on social media. We're still at 4 more minutes on the Christian Television Network. But here's why we have to do things like this. Hey, Patricia, not that Rumble does this stuff. They don't. Rumble's great. But anyway, hey, Patricia. This is Daniel Kersey from Facebook. We were introduced earlier in the meeting by attorney Clyde Vanell and Mary Barr. Oh, Mary Barr. Well, I wonder who that is. May I give you a call? She says, hey, Daniel, I'm busy today for a call. Can you text me the next steps, please? Let me make sure. Let me see here. I'm going to get my... ducks in a row. So I got, yeah, Patricia is the whistleblower. So she says, I can call you tomorrow if you prefer. Remember, very broken English. You can just text me as we need to move on this matter. What matter is it? I will share with Armstrong the posts that are scheduled for the January 6th topic. Everything I send cannot be changed because we've already programmed the algorithm for that publication. This is Facebook talking. We've already programmed the algorithm to be pro-Democratic Party and anti-Donald Trump. That's what we're dealing with. That's why everybody needs to get the freak off of Facebook. As I mentioned to Armstrong in the change because we've already programmed the algorithm for that publication. As I mentioned to Armstrong in the meeting, the content is already pre-programmed and he cannot make any changes. So is Facebook programmed against us in MAGA? There it is. Right there. They wanted to make sure. I should have kept these in order, but Facebook to develop anti-Trump social media content. The strategy as outlined in the notes taken by Layla, so she's been proven right because here she is showing it in her text messages with Facebook. The strategy as outlined in the notes taken by Layla was to alter the algorithm. By the way, this is all at the command of Bill Barr. Everybody getting this? This is not like plausible deniability stuff. You know, we were in an election season and we did some stuff and they did some stuff and blah. No. Folks, this is Jack Ryan stuff, okay? You know, as clear as it is in movies, when they finally expose the criminal and the criminality and the actual scheme, i.e. the actual conspiracy against Donald Trump's rights, where you're going to program an algorithm to be anti-Trump while you get 230 exemptions, federal law 230 exemptions, and that's all based on you being unbiased and being a platform, not a publisher. Okay, I will make sure, and this is Patricia talking, and again, broken English. I will make sure he don't change anything. All the content you will send is what it's supposed to be sent to Armstrong. It's included anti-Trump content too, right? That's correct, says Facebook. I mean, did Mark Zuckerberg come out and like give $100 million to Trump or something? I mean, inauguration and all. This is the reality of things. Look at that. Anti-Trump content, too. That's correct. I mean, these people have exposed themselves for the partisan hacks and sycophants that they are. Mary wanted you to post as well. Armstrong doesn't have an audience among the young and Latino public. Can you post, too? No, she says. As I told everyone before, I don't like to be related in public with Armstrong and his content. I can send you different content. We need to focus on Latinos to be anti-Trump, which is your audience. It would be very important to collaborate, says Facebook. Facebook's supposed to be a platform. My account, and this is Patricia back, the whistleblower, my social media and opinions are always in my own. I never negotiate my opinion. You should consider it. This is what Facebook is saying. Facebook is trying to tell her what to post. They couldn't do that. They're a private company. That's what I was told by all the Democrats. They're a private company. They can do whatever they want. No, they can't under 230 exemptions. You should consider it. These posts are paid and very well compensated.
Shocker.
Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. You can bring it back to me. Layla's whistleblower reported Armstrong Williams and Bill Barr to the FBI. So here you have the whistleblower reports Bill Barr. Remember now, getting fraudulent visas for jobs that don't exist. Bill Barr was doing that. So she was reporting him for that and for this lawless investigation, this criminal investigation violating Donald Trump's rights, conspiracy against rights investigation into Bill Barr. She was reporting Bill Barr for his criminality. So she Layla reported Armstrong Williams and Bill Barr to the FBI in 2023. That was a mistake. For their secret meetings and the visa fraud scheme exposed in Project Veritas video part one. Make sure you watch it. Text messages reveal panic from Williams and his associates upon learning of the FBI report. Layla's faced a barrage of threats and demands to return meeting notes and other documents she recorded during her employment, suggesting their authenticity and a frantic effort to conceal these covert meetings. Here's what was written to, now that of course is Armstrong Williams on the bottom, the leader of the remember now this is the media coordinator who is conspiring with Facebook to be anti-Trump. Look, Patricia, whistleblower, I aired today.
I already know. It was just blocked.
What is it? I already know?
Yeah.
I already? That says today, though.
Yeah, it's blocked by the today saying it was from
what
today.
What does that say, Aaron? What do you think it says?
It says, look, Patricia, I already know your lawyer.
Okay. I already know your lawyer went to the DOJ to try to save you. I know who he is. Hey, Bannon's attorney, and Bannon's been a friend of mine for years. Because he's actually, these are all Republicans. This is his personal friend of Ben Carson right here. And then you have Shermichael, whatever Shermichael's last name, Williams. No, that's not his last name, is it? Maybe it is. But anyway, these are all alleged Republicans, right? That's the biggest threat to us is Republicans, not Democrats. And Van's been a friend of mine for years. I'm calling him today to let him know exactly what kind of person you are. Don't be surprised if your lawyer decides to drop you after that. You had a chance to be part of my team to build something big, make money, and gain serious connections by being compromised and being corrupt. That's how you make connections in D.C. And you threw it all away. The only reason you're still in the picture is because I allowed it. You're hiding out in Mexico thinking political asylum will shield you. That won't last forever. You took my documents and phones and never returned them. And now you think you can move against me. Let me be clear. Your time is running out. I'm done with you. Letting you live. Holy crap. Did everybody see what we're dealing with here? Letting you live. And everybody thinks that, and I know, again, I'm speaking to a red-pilled audience, but everybody thinks that, you know, all the Clinton murders are, you know, that's all conspiracy theory.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, really? This guy's talking openly. This guy's a media company. This guy owns a media company. He's threatening this woman's life. Seth Rich, I mean, it's just a robbery, even though he was never robbed. But he was killed in a robbery, but he wasn't robbed. You know, Vince Foster, you know, all these various people with double taps that committed suicide. Person that hung themselves, but had a shotgun blast to the head. And they couldn't find the shotgun. Again, this is serious business. I'm done with you. Letting you live was one of my biggest mistakes I ever made. If I could, I'd have my hands around your throat right now. This is the reality of our country. Not our Constitution, not our great Bill of Rights, not our great Constitution, you know, not our Declaration of Independence, not was the dream that was Rome, the dream that was this republic, but these people right here, these fake, disgusting Republicans. I'm guessing I can get the next two words, but I won't say them. You effing B, you're still running your mouth about me to people you think can help you. Wasn't me giving Joanna your address to post on TikTok enough? Now your every move, I know your every move, and I won't stay quiet until I get my phones back and see you dead. This is the real world. This is how it really works. No, it's elections and MAGA. No, this is the real world, right? I'm MAGA. How does it feel to be a complete illegal immigrant now? And now she's been criminally charged by the DOJ too. I'm imagining that's not going to last much longer. I just got confirmation. All your American documents have been canceled. This is what happens when you think you can go against me, David and Barr. You'll never get your green card back, not even if you marry the president. Now give me back my phones and the notes that belong to HSH, that's his media company, because at some point I will lose my patience, and when I do, I'll come for you myself. That's who these people are. That's who these people are. Unbelievable. I mean, it really is. Last part of the Veritas. Thank you for sticking with me, all these people. I know, like, reading an article isn't the most exciting podcast on the planet, but we've gained views while I'm in the middle of doing it, so that's a good thing. But anyway, it's critical to highlight that Project Veritas, again, this is part of Project Veritas's article, it's critical to highlight that Project Veritas was first tipped off to this story by the Department of Justice officials troubled by the apparent DOJ cover-up to pin Barr's action on the whistleblower. A Trump DOJ official stated Barr has put the entire FBI after this woman to get the documents she has. This sounds just like when they went after James O'Keefe with Project Veritas to get Ashley Biden's diary back and then criminally charged the person who took Ashley Biden's diary, but Ashley Biden had abandoned it. So it's not theft. All right, you can put the next one up for me. So here it is. This is from Veritas right here. About Bill Barr, here is the story. A woman tried to report Barr to the FBI because, this is officially from Veritas, because he is part of a group of people who sell visas to millionaires. This is who these people are. While he's trying to frame Trump, he's illegally selling visas to millionaires and justifying the visas with jobs that don't exist. Barr put the FBI after this woman while he was not even AG. She is currently outside the USA with political assignment because she received death threats. Her case came to the DOJ last week. She was represented by the same lawyer. I can't lose my job over this, but I think it's important, this is another whistleblower, that the right person, the right people know. This woman has all the evidence you can imagine, including photos, phone calls, documents, etc., which you've seen on this podcast. Barr has put the entire FBI after this woman to get the documents she has. The craziest part of this story, I can't believe there's something else, is that she called the FBI to report what was happening, and the following week, the FBI went to her house to try to get the evidence she had, but couldn't find it. So a prosecutor who is friends with Barr started threatening her there and tried to make her hand over documents or else she would be charged with crimes she didn't commit. So what you have is this entire circle bleep DC establishment swamp that defends its own. Even when they're in retirement, you have Lloyd Austin moves out of government service right to Raytheon where he secures government contracts. Then he moves back into government and secures more government contracts that he pays himself through Raytheon later when he's back on their board. So you have this constant circle bleep symbiote where you have retired Bill Barr using a prosecutor to threaten the woman who turned him in for the crimes that he committed. All defending themselves. And whenever they defend themselves, what do they say? We're defending America. We can't release that because if we don't heavily reject that document that exposes their crimes and corruption, then it will hurt America. It's for national security persons, national security reasons. No, it's for personal security reasons so that your crimes are not exposed. And they can, one layer after another, one generation after another, the party that you and I aren't involved with in, the party you and I aren't invited to, covers for each other and profits off of each other, steers contracts to each other, forms NGOs to pay each other. That's what's actually happening. That's the true United States of America. All right, off of all this, let's go on to Trump for a couple minutes. Nick Sorter video, breaking President Trump. Aaron, can you side by side that real quick? Because I'm going to have you do some quick research for me. Okay. Nick Sorter video, breaking President Trump, has officially brokered yet another peace deal. Aaron,
yes.
Find all of Biden's peace deals that he did in four years.
All right, hang on.
Okay, hear him? He's looking. Nothing. He's looking. Right, how many we got? Total?
Zero.
Zero. Okay, yep. Okay, zero.
Yep.
Here's another one that Trump has done. He already did India and Pakistan, who, by the way, want to fight. That's a miracle. And here's another absolute miracle. Everybody knows Azerbaijan and Armenia have been fighting for, 30 years. So you had the following. Herbert Walker Bush tried to stop the war. He failed. Billy Clinton tried to stop the war. He failed. George W. Bush tried to stop the war. He failed. Hussein tried to stop the war. He failed. Joe Biden tried to stop the war. He failed. And remember, you're like, well, why didn't Trump do it in his first term? Well, he got four peace deals in his first term. Aaron, so try to find all of Obama's peace deals.
Oh, let me see.
You find it. I mean, there's got to be. I mean, he was the president for 8 years. There has to be a whole bunch of them. I mean, it has to be some peace deals.
Zero.
Zero again. Okay, yeah. Zero. Zero. Allegedly, all of these anti-war liberals, although they're very pro-war now, they used to be very anti-war, they never secure a single peace deal ever. What did Joe Biden do for 4 years? Can anybody even name one thing the man accomplished outside of putting about $10 trillion worth of debt onto our national debt? Breaking Nick Sorter video. President Trump has officially brokered yet another peace deal. Play it for me.
For more than 35 years, Armenia and Azerbaijan have fought a bitter conflict that resulted in tremendous suffering for both nations. They suffered gravely for so many years. Many tried to find a resolution, including the European Union. The Russians worked very hard on it. Never happened. Sleepy Joe Biden tried, but you know what happened there? He tried for probably 12 minutes and didn't work out. And many other countries tried, and they were unsuccessful. But with this accord, we've finally succeeded in making peace, and we just left the Oval Office where we signed voluminous documents and very important elements to the agreement.
And then the leader on the left side of Trump there, Trump's right, our left, said publicly he needs to be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. I would think now, since Hussein Obama got a new Nobel Peace Prize for drone attacks, I'm wondering, that's fact, that's exactly what the world leader, the absolutely all-time leader in drone killings was Hussein Obama, and he received a Nobel Peace Prize for what? Nobody can name, just like all the Pulitzer Prizes that were handed out to people who wrote about the collusion hoax. But I digress. But anyway, I don't know which leader is of which country, but one of the leader on the left said he needs to be nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. Well, okay, since you had the four Middle East peace deals during his presidency the first time, which nobody was able to secure in thousands of years, and they've all held. And then you had India, Pakistan already this year. All of the hostages that he's brought home, all of the political prisoners he's brought home, and now secured a peace deal between countries that have been fighting for 30 years. And I will venture to say that within the next month, he will have stopped the Ukraine-Russia war. That's my guess. You're like, but Tom, you're like, it was Azerbaijan. I was going to guess that because yeah. I've seen him on another video. He's very pro-America, very pro-Trump, but I didn't want to guess. It was actually a great video of him just lambasting a leftist reporter. But anyway, I think he will because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. But basically, they've come. Putin and Trump have come to terms about what it is that they have to have for peace. And Zelensky, oh, that's not good for me. But now Zelensky allegedly is starting to come around too. Because you know why Zelensky's going to come around? Anybody guess why Zelensky's going to come around? Because if he doesn't, he's going to be killed. I mean, you know, there's 20,000 people a month dying in this war. And if Zelensky's, I want more money for my billion-dollar mansions in Spain. You know, okay, you've had enough billions, all right? Actor pretending to be president. But anyway, so if Trump gets that, I mean, you know, people are like, well, you've talked negatively about Trump. You know, I've talked honestly about Trump from how I see things. That's it, honestly. It doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but I'm speaking to you honestly about how I feel. So when Trump does great things, i.e., most of what he does is great, and he works 21 hours a day. I've never seen a presidency like this. Go to the next one for me. Look at this stuff. Every day, Trump never sleeps, baby. Breaking, A.G. Bondi appoints Ed Martin. Oh, man. See the guy on the left? You don't want him prosecuting you. And who's he going after? Big Tish and Shifty Shift for their mortgage frauds, which are irrefutable and indisputable. They committed multiple crimes. Go to the next one for me. Nick Sorter tweet, breaking: President Trump has signed a directive for the Pentagon to use military force against the foreign drug cartels. I'm 100% in favor of that because that has to do with an invasion on our own border. On our own land, 100,000 Americans dying per year of fentanyl overdoses during the Biden administration. I'm all for that. Go to the next one for me. Another Nick Sorter tweet. Breaking: a federal appeals court reversed activist judges. Oh, Jebby Boasberg reversed again every single time. A leftist, Biden, Democratic Party, sycophant Democratic Party campaigner, Democratic Party campaign contributing judge makes a ruling, they get overturned by a far more wise appellate court. So reversed activist Judge Boasberg's order attempting to hold the Trump administration in contempt for deporting illegals under the Alien Enemies Act, even though it was already established law. Big win for Trump. The Boasberg loser needs to be impeached. How many more rulings of his are going to be overturned? Every last one of them, because they are politically motivated, not constitutionally motivated, which is his job, is to enforce the Constitution. All right, that's good. 10:14. I'm letting these guys off early tonight. Date night for everybody. Applebee's closes in 45 minutes. You got to get home, grab your wife, and get to Applebee's, all right? Rumble rants tonight. Hey, we got two Rumble rants tonight. Robin Aroni, $25. Thank you so much, Robin Aroni. Christopher Arnott, $10. Thank you guys so much. In the rant, we can pay Brent tonight. We actually pay Brent in pastries. But so Aaron gets paid tonight with the cash. So Aaron doesn't go home broke. He's going to be able to put gas in his Mazda Miata and drive home. But anyway, love you guys. Oh, Foundation Church, join us this Sunday. Foundation Church, 10 a.m. If you want a Bible-thumping church that's just like this podcast, join us at Never Closed, Never Will, Never Compromise. That's it. Politically, totally, completely incorrect. We'll say anything and everything from the pulpit, even things that get me in trouble sometimes. But Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time at Foundation Church. No matter where you live, don't go to a COVID-caving bent-over church. Don't go to them, ever. Join us. Just make us your church, even if you're living, you know, in Oregon, even if, you know, even if you're living in Seattle, whatever, you make this your home church, because if there's nothing but crappy churches around you, don't go there and ruin your family. Join us online at Foundation Church, 10 o'clock Eastern time this Sunday morning. If I don't see you Sunday morning, back here, 9 o'clock, as always, p.m., Monday night. Love you guys. God bless you. See you either Sunday or Monday.